This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. St. Louis is full of great art. That's been recognized by media outside the region, which includes Forbes calling St. Louis's Grand Center Arts District, quote, the most exciting emerging arts district in America, and the New York Times' positive coverage of St. Louis's public art exhibition, Counterpublic. Yet there are still many artists in STL seeking places to be in community with fellow creatives and to showcase their work in welcoming and inclusive spaces. In 2020, Christopher Loss founded the apparel store Profield Reserve on Cherokee Street, which has an arts reputation of its own. And he's now morphing that storefront into something, Field Club Media, to meet that physical and community need of local artists, especially those juggling creative work and traditional 9-to-5s. Here to talk with us about that transformation and an exhibition he's opening at Sophie's Artist Lounge this Saturday, we welcome Chris Loss. Christopher, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So Christopher, I feel like, you know, most places I go, I will see someone in one of your shirts, right? Your hats, sweatshirts, and the bold P is pretty iconic at this point. Before we get to your new venture with Field Club Media, tell us how Profield Reserve came to be.
Profield Reserve came out of a need for me to shift kind of where my career was going, right? Mm-hmm. So a transplant, I was here for 6-7 years before I started Profield. And I had a warehouse down on Jefferson Street. So I would come down to Cherokee Street to grab a sandwich, get some Mexican food, just kind of disconnect from the work for the day. And just kind of one day, I was down there to get lunch. And I'd always noticed there wasn't really too many places to shop or even like retail kind of through my lens. So while I'm here for 6-7 years before I open Profield Reserve, there wasn't really too many places for me to go and like attain like a good pair of sweatpants or a really good pair of t-shirt or a good t-shirt. Cause I did a lot of custom work too for like small clients and like small businesses. So sometimes I'd be running around just looking for a shirt just to put a decoration or a word on it for a client. And you know, running around through the South Side, I can't find anywhere to just get a good quality, like, garment. Mm-hmm. So I think of Fully Aligned when I'm just down there one day and I see the storefront and I was just like, I have all the tools, I have the skill set. St. Louis, I think, could use something that I could create for them and fulfill some, you know, some retail needs down here. There wasn't much in place down on Cherokee Street. So I kind of just took a leap of faith. I didn't know anyone. I didn't even know. I was just here with my partner and my kid. So I really just started a retail store out of thin air.
Okay. And then when you say your lens, what do you mean by that?
So I'm kind of this hybrid creative that comes from the world of like athletics and sports too. So as a kid, I played sports, but had like this artistic ability, but I thought they always had to be separate. I'm very much on the shorter side, right? So at one point, I kind of was very self-aware and was like, you're not going to make it to the league.
Okay.
You're not going pro in anything. So what do we do with this other like skill set that the art teachers and the people around you are like, you should fully dive into this. You should look into it. So I just kind of picked up a pencil and pen and then moved into digital work further down into, you know, my educational career. And yeah, one thing led to another after college and just kind of figured out I could use the skill set that I built. And I was creating graphic design tees. And that's kind of what I leaned into.
Right.
But then once I got to Profield Reserve, that like itch of being pushing kind of like the boundaries of what you would expect from a sportswear store started kind of coming to the surface for me. So I started going around to all of our beautiful like public parks here in St. Louis and would take pictures and then we would turn them into screen prints. So people started walking around with Profield Reserve garments with my photography on it in a very elevated way. And then I would location mark on every single back of the shirt. So It could be Francis Park, and it may be very vague of what it is. It may just be the shadows inside the court, right? But to me, it was just, it was a very artistic way of showing I like sports, but I also like tees.
Right.
I want to look good. Can I wear this to the office, but also go to happy hour? Can I just, you know, what purpose can this shirt serve? And it does not be your regular tee, but represent St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Like St. Louis loves St. Louis.
Right. Well, and you're talking about these photographs of the physical landscape, but the arts landscape is something that you are also obviously paying a lot of attention to. And so, you know, as an artist and a business owner, what have you found in the St. Louis artist scene that keeps you here? And what is it that is lacking?
Mm. What keeps me around is I think there is a lot of opportunity, but I think what's lacking is cohesiveness and also opportunity at ground level. So I think that's what I am kind of, I'm going down this path of creating space for people that are unrepresented, mm-hmm. or just don't have the opportunities. A lot of these artists that I'm getting ready to represent at Sophie's, there's 40 of them. I would say 99% of them have a regular 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, yeah, they've sold a piece here and there, but they've never been able to rely on their work. Most of them have, some of them haven't been in shows, and some that have been in shows, they're usually on and off a wall within 24 to 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So no one really within the city gets to live with their work or even get to know who they are, because those first couple nights of a show opening is just kind of a party environment. No one's really there to like intake the art or to like live with it. There's not a chance to ask questions or get to know who even made it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with having this like 4 month long exhibition is going to really, I think, show the city that there is so much unrealized talent here that we need to find more spaces for them and give them platforms that where they're just not getting put on a wall and then taken off within 24, 48 hours.
Right. So how is it then that what you did with Profield Reserve, which was also about hosting concerts, like the t-shirt mm-hmm. that I'm wearing, it comes from that.
Yeah.
How is it that that went from, you went from Profield and that to, we'll talk more about the exhibit,
mm-hmm.
but for that to come about.
Yeah. So what kind of happened was I had space. So I opened up a store at the very beginning of the pandemic. And then over time, you know, we're all just kind of trying to figure out what this looks like and how we can maneuver with what's going on in the world. And also, like, how do we still occupy space together and be safe and, you know, things like that. So I just started meeting the creatives as they slowly figured out who I was and that I had space and like they could just kind of come hang out. I mean, that's really what started was like one person would come in and a 5 minute like, who are you and what is this? And it turns into, oh, I kind of like it here. Let me stick around. And I started basically creating relationships with people over these like year and a half, 2 years.
Mm.
But during that time, people are coming to me with like projects because they're like, I still want to do music. I still want to like have a voice, even though like the world shut down. So one of my dear friends, Sir Eddie C, that's what he goes by. That's his artist name. He's a transplant as well, but he's kind of like me. He's a visionary. He kind of came into space and looked around. He was like, I got some ideas, and I'm like, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Because I'm someone that's kind of, I think of things a little differently than most. So I was willing to listen,
yeah.
And he was like, we could do some stuff here. So we sat down and we figured out, like, we could do some live music out of here. We could record it. We could put it online. We could put it on YouTube and then make it a way where we could drop basically apparel with it. So mm-hmm. we treated it like a concert that had merch. And now we're able to create a project together. We're able to release it to the public. Now we're able to attach as something that can make the artist money.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas typically what I found in the city, a lot of the artists and creatives are really pretty much asked to do a lot of stuff for free.
Yes.
or heavily discounted.
Mm-hmm.
So my approach to that was, once I started figuring that out, was how can I make this equitable? So for the first couple of years of me doing collaborative work with artists here in the city, I was doing a 50-50 profit split.
Mm-hmm.
So every artist walked away basically with some form of money,
right,
and working hand in hand with me. So I'm teaching them how to do merchandise, how to sell to the public, how to, you know, host an event with me. So just kind of one thing led to another. And from that event, it kind of snowballed into more music events. And then it turned into like DJ lineups and just curating just events in general. And it helped because I had space and I was willing to listen and I was willing to say yes.
Right. Those three things, space, listening, and just agreeing, being in accord. We're talking with Christopher Loss, who's the founder of Profield Reserve and Field Club Media. So Field Club Media comes together. It kind of makes sense that that was the trajectory that it followed. If you visit the website, that explore menu is stacked,
yes,
right? So there's art, music, fashion, tech, mm-hmm, design, literature, athletics, food, events.
Yeah.
So that's exciting, but it's also a lot.
It is a lot.
I mean, what is it that ties these categories together that warrants broader focus too?
So with this show and the people that are kind of helping me even being in the show or helping with it, right? So once the show starts, that website starts to get filled in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the other things that kind of trickle out from that, and even things that are happening down at the space down on Cherokee Street, we now start documenting and pushing it out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So short clips, long form, and also representing the artist and anyone else within the city that has, let's just say, media, mm-hmm, content, anything that aligns with where I think Field Club Media can go and kind of like the voice it can have here in the world and represent St. Louis, I want to host it. I want to house it through a very authentic lens. So when someone from Chicago or LA or Paris really says, I want to know what's going on in St. Louis at ground level, not surface level,
right,
not focusing on the crime, not focusing on the downtown and how, you know, we're still trying to get it, you know, filled with people. There's other things going on that just are not being, I think, talked about.
Right.
And that is a bubbling arts and creative scene that just needs support. So
do you think that your being a transplant has to do with why you are coming at this in this way? Because we've talked with people who are lifelong St. Louisans, and it sounds like they're buying into this too. So is being something of an outsider part of the reason you think you've been able to get this going?
Absolutely. I think being a transplant 100% helps, because I can come in and be unbiased. I don't have ties to the city that are deep, but I do consider this like my forever home now. So like, mm-hmm, this is a lifelong mission, to kind of help St. Louis get, I think, to that next level of what does arts, entertainment, and all these other things that I feel like are lacking and not being kind of put at the forefront from the people creating things at ground level.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just want to lead the way, but I do think being a transplant helps because I came into it not knowing anyone. So I base really who I work with based on their talent and not who they are, what they've like, you know, done or who they know.
Mm-hmm.
And this city is very small. So, you know, your name can be brought up in rooms and people could immediately just be like, no.
Right.
No, this person. And it's as simple as like, this person is my ex.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
or the ex of my uncle or my, you know.
Right.
So we kind of get, it's a little too personal sometimes. So
mm-hmm,
I think me coming along and being very unbiased and I can just say, I want to work with you based on your talent and
right,
not who you are or what weight does your name carry. I'm majority of people I've worked with, they don't have this like huge following, but the talent is there. So mm-hmm, why not help cultivate this and give it a platform?
Right.
So
that brings us to this arts exhibition that yeah, you are curating and that you are part of as well with your own work. It's called Inside Outside. Why did you name it that?
So, post-pandemic, and even just like leading up to it, right? Leading up to the pandemic, a lot of people got very comfortable just sitting inside, right? Just sitting at home on their phone, getting used to just waking up to social media, staying on social media, browsing websites and consuming things through Amazon and Uber Eats. And we've, I think, as a society of are very comfortable with living very sedentary lives. Mm-hmm. And also when you drive through the city and you pass all these wonderful, beautiful parks, they're underutilized. So how do we kind of get people comfortable again with like dipping their toe back out into the real world, mm-hmm. and using like the infrastructure that's around them and meeting people at these places and then starting to use them, like use the tennis courts, use the fields just to go sit in, go shoot hoops with these new basketball courts that are being built. It's, we have to get back to actually knowing who our neighbors and who is in our community. And I think we're getting there slowly but surely. Just for example, so at the shop, we just had our second field club run walk that's in partnership with STL Run Crew.
Mm-hmm. So, we've talked with them here, yep.
So Ricky's wonderful. And for probably the last year, I've been saying, listen, I want to start a run walk club. I want it to be a field club media thing, but I want it to be in partnership with you. Mm-hmm. I need the city to show, I need to show the city that the both of us can kind of lock arms and show that we're two separate entities, but we're going to cultivate a space where people can come and meet and run and have recreation. And we just had, 60, 70 people show up. A third of them were transplants in the first time there. And this the second Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Well, that also reminds me of what you said about the 50-50, that it's partnership,
yes,
not co-opting.
Yeah.
So the inside-outside exhibition then, how is it that the artists who are part of that reflect a little bit of the spirit of what you're talking about?
Yeah. They're all very talented people that I feel a lot of them probably have been on the outside looking in, kind of like, when do I get an opportunity? When do I get a chance to show like this work that I've been, you know, just working so hard on? Most of them are creating that, you know, on the floor in their apartment, right? So my goal is, how do I make sure that I can continue to put as many batteries in the back of like these creatives that I'm, and artists and photographers that I'm representing? Mm-hmm. Because it's very easy for us to just give up on like our hopes and dreams and just say, I'm not getting the recognition I want. I'm not making any money off this, and I'm putting hundreds of dollars into these projects. And eventually, you know, everyone just lays down the paintbrush or the pencil or the camera, and then you're 40, 50, and you turn around, and you look at your kids or your partner, and you say, I used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think St. Louis is going to be filled with too many of those people when we are very much an art city, but there's just not enough like opportunity to just go around. So my goal is to just continue to put as many batteries in the back of people that really just need to keep like pursuing this. And I want them to be realistic about it too. It's like, yes, let's still keep the 9-to-5. Like it's very real, the starving artist, but how do we make it to where you can make an extra couple $100 or it takes care of like the insurance payment or mm-hmm. part of the mortgage or whatever. It's like, how can we help just what this looks like? Now, some people are going to figure it out and be able to live off this. Like, that's the ultimate goal. But we also have to be realistic of what this looks like. And mm-hmm. if I can help someone figure out how to make a couple extra $100, it's important because it goes a long way. It adds up over time.
You are a single individual, Christopher.
Yes.
Doing a lot of work. We've talked about ecosystem, arts ecosystem here. What do you think that big institutions need to do such that this is not the responsibility of individual people who happen to have the know-how, you know, and some of the personality, honestly, that is necessary to to do something like this?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, invite us into the spaces, get to know us, and base it on the work. Base it on truly what we can bring to the table as a community, because this city is going to move on community. We're going to fill spaces. If you want these spaces to be filled and you want people to be in the seats and the foot traffic to come back to all these areas, it has to be led with arts and entertainment. Mm-hmm. And if we do not put our community in place to do that, then it's going to take even much longer of a time to get the city to that next level. We are a tourist city. We are a place where people can come from 6 to 8 hours away. But right now, we don't have enough in place for people to come and say, I feel fully entertained and I'm leaving to go back home and I can't wait to come back. Mm. You know, a lot of people come into town, yes, for the Cardinals, the Blues, City Soccer, but they're immediately like running back to their hotel room. Or they're going to the most touristy spots, which still support the touristy spots. But there's still a lot of, I'm a small business owner on Cherokee Street. On a game day, there's still no foot traffic down on Cherokee Street because sure. It's just not on their radar. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of, they just think as soon as I get out of the stadium, something bad's going to happen to me.
Right?
Or not even knowing where to even put their money into or the ecosystem to go support. So they think it's just, they just attend very surface level things. And when the Cardinals, you know, aren't having the best of seasons, it affects a lot of things, right? So we've kind of threw all of our eggs into this like sports, like town basket.
Right.
When all we really need to do is just make sure the artists are getting paid equitable wages so they can go out here and entertain. When we go to these other cities and you go to a bar and it's jam packed, and you're having a great time, no one's going, who is this artist? You're just caught up in the moment. So we can absolutely get these artists and these creatives and these musicians and places and locations to entertain the people that are coming in. So when these people do leave, they're taking something with them, and those are experiences. But right now, it's just kind of, there's nothing really in place. But we have so many phenomenal artists that can fill a room and make people think that they are just living experiencing that big city moment, because we do have people coming from like these very small towns. I'm from a very small town. I'm from the Illinois side, Southern Illinois. So being an hour and 45 minutes away, when I would come up here, I'm like, this is awesome, right? There's tons of people like me that would come here on a regular basis or even consider moving here and starting their life. I was that kid that was like, there's something bigger for me out there. And I always remember coming over the hill and seeing the arch and being like, man, there's something about this city.
Yeah.
So here I am, and it feels like home for the very first time. Mm-hmm. So I cannot wait to see what this looks like. I call it the forever mission. The next like 50 years is I want to kind of lead this way of what does arts entertainment look like in the city.
So as we wrap here, I'm going to finish with Inside Outside. What is it that's going to be happening there that will make people want to come back, Christopher?
Yeah. So it is once we get to Saturday, it becomes a community exhibition, right? So right now I'm in place. We'll have 40 artists in place Saturday. Over time, the community gets to participate with the show. So there'll be palettes of paper around where people can draw. They can write me something, whatever you want to do with this piece of paper. And then there, I'm kind of known with the sports leaning art, right? So I have these basketball hoops in place that have baskets that once you toss this paper in there, it stays with me. Hmm. But once we start taking out of these basketball baskets, we will unfurl them and we will suspend them from the ceiling, artwork down. So as you start walking down this hallway over the next 2-3 months, we start having thousands of participants that become artists with this.
Okay.
So you can bring your 8-year-old little niece.
Oh, I'm bringing
have
my
her,
son.
You know, your son, have him draw, crumple that up, and we have that Kobe moment where we shoot, and you may miss, right?
Right.
But it's so fun that like, it's not like your typical basketball when you shoot and you miss in front of someone. You're like, oh, man, I just embarrassed myself. Like, you're having so much fun. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Christopher Loss is founder of Field Club Media and the apparel store Profield Reserve, and the curator of the art exhibition we're just talking about, Inside Outside, which opens with an event this Saturday, June 8th, at Sophie's Artist Lounge in Midtown St. Louis. Christopher, thank you so much for talking with us today.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.